Hallelujah. In the book of Luke, chapter 21, the first verse, we'll begin to read there. Verse 1, and he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury have cast in all the living that she had. I read that and I studied on this, and I've been praying this week and seeking God and really just wanting to get right down to where God wants me to be in my life. Really wanting to get down to business for what God wants me to do. Beginning to realize that there are things each day in my life that I have to begin to cast off. Things each day that have to begin to flee from me. In order for me to be of more use to God, in order for my spiritual man to be of use to God, there are things in my life that have to begin to fall away. And I begin to read this, and there are so many times when we find ourselves in a place where we consider ourselves in a poor state. We're depressed and upset and torn and weary and just aggravated at everything that we see, and we just don't feel motivated to call out to God. We're not confident in the faith that we have inside of us, and therefore the spirit that we have within us is very small, very little, and not strong to carry us where we need to go in God. And I realized that when I was reading this, that there were many rich men that were throwing just everything that they had in there. And we could possess a lot of knowledge. We can possess a lot of things that we feel like will bring us through the trials of life. And you might feel like that you're confident and might feel like that you're strong enough to endure everything. But I'm here to tell you that there will be a day when God will show to you things that will not be able to carry you through the storm. And you will finally realize that you are lacking in your life, and that there needs to be something that changes in you so that God can fill you up with something more. You see, our flesh was never intended to be able to contain everything in ourselves, to be able to withstand all the things that was in this world. I realize now in my life, the only way that I grow is when I let the Spirit of God begin to let me grow, and when I let the faith in my life drive me where I need to be in my life, when my faith is the center of what I'm believing in, instead of the doubt, instead of me looking at something and saying it's never going to happen, but bless God, looking at it and having a little faith and trusting God. What does that say? It's meaning that I might come in the door with nothing because of all that I'm going through, but if I come in and bring to God all that I have is my faith, that's more valuable than everything else that I could have in this world. You could be confident in man. You could be confident in your money and think that you'll make it. You could be confident in me and think that I can help you, but one day preacher's going to fail you. One day church is going to fail you. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will not leave you. Spirit of God will not fail you. God will not leave you in your darkest hour. I am faithful. You see, we're going to be desperate and only have a little bit of faith. I'm only going to have enough willpower to get in the door. You understand where I'm coming from? Are you with me tonight? I'm not always going to have the strength and the power to be able to stand up boldly and get up and have the almighty power and be able to run 20 laps around this building. But you see, if I have the faith to believe God, that is still of worth to God.
You understand, I'm not going to always be able to stand because it is me in my flesh. But that which is spiritual will always be strong. That which is done in the Spirit will always keep you. Woo! I'm telling you. Devil wants you to lean on those things that you'll just throw on and trust in. Beware of the scribes which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts which devour widows' houses and for a show make long prayers. The same shall receive greater damnation. We can come in here and go through the motions and it sounds like church, looks like church. But if there's no spiritual life in you, you'll get to a place where you'll be dried up to the bone. No life to be able to sustain you. And God can't use a dry vessel. He's got to have something that people can draw out of. Too many dried up churches. Nobody can get any life from dry vessels. They're walking in the desert and they're looking for water. They're looking for satisfaction and they're not finding it because there is no spirit where there is no willingness to put in all that we have. I'm not willing to get up. God just wants you to come in and put on all you've got. And it might be a great big lot that you feel like once. Or it might be just a little bit, Junior. It might be a hand. But sometimes all it has to be is a hand with faith. And God honors that hand in faith. He honors that song in faith. You see, the Spirit can move in an action in faith if you be willing to move and let God fill your vessel. Praise the Lord. We think we have to wait till God moves us to where it looks or sounds like somebody else that's highly anointed. But you see, God calls everybody different ways. It does not have to be just like that one or another would do it. You are special in the way that God has called you in your life. In the way that you do it doesn't have to be the way another brother does it. The way that God's Spirit moves on somebody doesn't have to be the same. He didn't have a respected person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He reached out. And I came with all that I had, which wasn't much. And I threw myself in wholeheartedly. And sometimes we don't feel like that anybody can help us. But God can. God can. God can help you. God can help you. I don't want us to feel like that we're out in the middle of the wilderness without anybody to give us a hand. God can help you. You just come and bring your prayers to God and sow it with some faith and believe that God is moving in your life. There's been some times when it's been a great big, loud, excited prayer because I was so confident in the moment, but there's been some times that all that I could do was see the tears fall from my face. You see, it's not in how loud that I can scream at Lauren. Sometimes it's just the tears, and God sees the heart, and He sees all that I can pour out. And when God sees that I finally just give that, my offering to Him, He will not withhold any good thing from those that will put it out to Him and not hold back to Him. Church, if we come in together and not hold anything back on God, He won't hold anything back on you. I might be a little over the top sometimes just trying to get you excited. But I just can't help but be excited. I'm not saying that you should do it like I do, because God moves on everybody differently. But what I am telling you to do is come in and put what God has given you into the part. Put your offering in. What God has given you to do, your piece of it, it's a part that matters.
Because I realize that when we have less to give, in essence, we're losing things. I'm beginning to put off all the things I used to think were important maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. They've lost their worth. And what a dollar used to mean to me maybe a year ago,
2 years ago, it's lost its worth. And maybe your possessions that we place so high of a value on, that we hang on to and clean up and make sure it's just perfect. As you begin to put God closer in your life, those things will even begin to have their place in your life. You see, when God is first, you'll come in and put everything into God, and everything else will become as important as it should be. I want to read just a little bit more. Book of James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If we're walking around, coming in and just going through the motions, and it's just not satisfying us in our life, there's going to have to come a time in your life where all that joy that we're feeling out there, it's going to have to go away. And all the things that we enjoy out there in life have to begin to become less important. And God has to become more important. But he cannot become more important until we become beneath God. And I know firsthand what it feels like to put God beneath me. Lord, I don't necessarily need you right now because life is good. I've got all my bills paid. All my family seems okay. I've got a good job. Church is fine. Life's all right. So reading doesn't seem as important. Praying, I can get away with not so much. Talking about the Lord and witnessing to people is definitely not on the table. God has officially become optional. I wouldn't even be alive. I wouldn't even have life if God had not saved me. I wouldn't even be able to draw the next breath if God did not grant me the grace to breathe it. He knows the very outcome of my life. He knows what's ahead of me. And we are the directors of how good or bad our outcome can be. We can make things easier or harder on ourselves. The way of a transgressor is hard. We who decide to go against the grain of God's word, we who decide that we're not listening this Sunday or next Sunday or this Friday or next Friday, and we're just not going to hear it at all because we know how we should live, we know what's right, and we don't think God's word is required of us to know how to be in good living. Buddy, we've got to get in God's word and we've got to let it mold us. We've got to live in the statutes which are set before us. I know we're in a new covenant, but there's something about the Holy Ghost that raises us up to be an example for others that they may be drawn also. There's something about the love of God that, yes, that will show you that I love you and that draws you. But there's something else about that holiness that you'd be able to see in me, that I am not as though I used to be, that I am a new man, that I am not as the world was, that I am not doing the things that I used to, that I am something different, that the Spirit of God did more than just save me. It completed something in me, and it's perfecting me each day. If there was no need for humbling myself, then I guess that I must be perfect. I must be just fine. I guess all those mentions in the Word of God about bringing us low, that must have been for them. I guess there's no need for us to go through anything. Well, why in the world does it seem like that we're always being tested? Well, I must need a lot of work. Or what I really think it is that we have to be humbled. God wants us to be humble. Brought low. We will never see the needs of others unless we're humble. We will, JR, I will never see if you're in need and if I'm not humble, because I'm blinded by what's important to me. I'm blinded by what's bothering me. You see, if I come in with my burdens and everything that's bothering me as a Christian, this is going to be a hard weight to carry home and think about, but we got to. If I come in with all the weights and burdens of my life as a Christian, and I'm not humbled in my life, I'm not going to be able to be of help when the time comes for it. You can have 200 people in the house of God and person come up for prayer, and how many of a percentage will you see go after them? I'm not calling anybody out, but I'm saying that compassion should be there. And I'm guilty too. I'm asking all of us to recognize that. That humbleness should be there, to realize that we should go after it, that we should be there. Because as I've been praying this week, I've had so many people in my heart. People here, people that's not been here in a while, people that's not been here in years, people that's sick. Church, are we praying like that? In my heart, it seems like I can't hardly get above the surface to ever have any joy, because I'm so burdened, Linda. There's just so much to pray for. And I don't know if anybody else is calling out like that. I hope that you are, but we're living in a day where our prayer closet should be nothing but used. We should be calling out. There's a scripture, and I'm going to bring it back and read it sometime in the future, where it talks about the daily schedules of prayer. One reference refers to morning, noon, and night. And I'm not saying you need to pray three times a day, but I'm saying you need to pray and keep praying until you feel satisfied in your day. God needs all of us to be on fire and busy. And I'm telling you, if you're getting humble and you're getting down and you're not giving room to the devil, you're not listening if you're praying. When you're praying in faith, you begin to build a wall about you that says, you're going to still go through your trial, but you don't have to listen to all that junk that he tries to whisper in your ear. You can begin to pray and say, though I may be going through something now, I know that I'm going on through. Devil, I'm not listening to you today. I claim my joy today. We have to turn in our sorrows. We have to lay down our anger. We cannot carry those things around. We have to give those things to God. We have to be brought low before Him. It's a process. It's a process. It's something that has to take place. It's not something that I'm going to wake up with and it already happened. It's something I have to get down and perform. It's something that I've got to give up before God. It's a fleshly death inside of me that God has to recognize that I'm doing inside of me. And it is a spiritual victory to a fleshly death when God can see that. Something happens. When you feel that surrender inside of you, you begin to rise up from there. You go ahead and try it. If you think I'm wrong, you begin to rise up from there and you begin to feel a little more confidence in your life. You'll begin to rise up with a little more spring in your step. You will feel like that you have no fear in your mind. Go around so much, so often, so afraid that we're turning around every corner to hear what's coming next. Instead of praying on through, we're wandering backwards, getting pushed around. What's coming next? I am confident. Not because of what I can do. Not of my will or my might or my power. My might, my will, and my power that failed me a long time ago. Church, it failed me a long time ago. I'm still confident today because of what God has performed in me. And if we've lost our confidence in God, then we need to take care of business and address what the matter is. We've got to look inside of ourselves. And if God is not number one, you can blame preacher, you can blame everybody else that tries to talk to you about it, and you get upset and you're like, I know I'm all right. But if God is not number one, there has to be a change. God has to be first. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. To finish this, I would say that it is better for you to get rid of something in your life and humble yourself and it feel like a loss to you than for you to continue on with that and it kill you out one day. You might feel like it's all right today. Then the decisions that we feel like that we're making today might feel like they're okay, but over time it will hinder you. Over time it will tear you down, and over time light will come where darkness is. The truth shall make us free. God wants us to remove those things that hinder us. So if you are afraid, if you are depressed, if you are upset, if you're just confused, if you come in with so many mixed things on your mind, God can help you with that. You do not have to walk around in turmoil. You do not have to walk around in daily torment. God has made provision for you. He does not want us to carry the baggage. I sound like a broken record. But they can behead me for the gospel. We are putting on more than we have to. We do not have to live this way. If this is the last message I ever preach, I will go out saying, you do not have to live this way. You do not have to carry this baggage on your mind. And you can stand up and declare and believe with some faith and put in your part. The Spirit of God will meet you. I am not afraid of offending you because I'm too concerned about helping you. I want you to get help. I want you to know that there's help for you here. And I give no ear to the devil tonight. And I'm here to tell you that if you need help in your mind, that there's help for you.